and not ashamed to share it. I was getting a haircut yesterday, as you can tell. I look 10 years younger, don't I? I got a, thank you, whoever said that. Somebody said it looked good. Oh, thank you, appreciate that. But I was getting a haircut, and I was out of town, actually. And it was an old-timey barbershop. I mean, old-timey, like you see on Andy Griffith or something, really old-timey. And the young man said, he's 27, he said, so what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a pastor. He goes, oh, man, that's great. He began to talk about how he was a Christian. He said, I'm a Christian. And it says, the best feeling in the world to know I'm saved. You know what he said? And it goes back to what I was talking about, that moment you know. He said, I was 6 years old. And he said, I gave my heart to Jesus. He said, I remember even then, there was the greatest feeling came on me at 6 years old I ever had before. And said, there's nothing like it. And he was talking about his faith. He was, professing his faith and talking about, he knows where he's going. It's so wonderful to experience that. He's very involved in his church up there where I was at. And it was refreshing to talk to another believer that shares it, that's not ashamed of it. We as Christians should be sharing that with other people, that we are Christians. And we actually went up to Asheville Friday. Melanie took Christian to the Biltmore House. She never saw it. She wanted to share that with Christian before she was off to college, because we know once Christian leaves in August, we've lost her. I mean, she's got a whole new world. I go, okay, Mom, I'll come home since you're back. Yeah, we know we've lost her. And so we won't do as much as we can between now and August. But we went to downtown Asheville and parked if you've ever been to downtown Asheville, it's very different. It's very different. It's a very liberal town. It's just very different. But there was this guy on the street playing the guitar, and he caught my attention. He has a little case out, where you tip him, when you go by. And he just had regular jeans, a shirt, kind of a ponytail, and he's strumming his guitar. And it's a Christian song, and it caught my ear. And I'm actually going to try to find that song so we can sing it here. It's a beautiful song called Sweetly Broken. He was playing that song and singing it. It so moved me. Me and Mel and Christian, and actually we went over there to him and just listened to him. And I said, man, that's awesome what you're doing. He goes, well, in this town, it needs all the Jesus it can get. And he said, I'm just trying to do my part of just spread the gospel. And we talked to him a little bit. But church, that takes courage to be on this public street, especially in a town like Asheville, which is very not known for its, it's very known for its be who you want to be and do what you want to do kind of town. In fact, if Melanie felt so uncomfortable, she's like, I don't feel comfortable walking downtown. You just could feel, there was just so much spirit. She said, I said, all right, we'll go. I just wanted to show you the difference in Statesville and Asheville. There's a big difference. Yeah, Melanie walked a block, said, let's just leave. But it took a lot of courage for him to stand up in the middle of the street and sing this song to Jesus and be a witness. Now, church, whether it touched anybody or not, I don't know. But he's obeying God. He's serving God. He is demonstrating his faith, is the point I'm trying to get to. He's not hiding behind the name of Christian, but not doing anything with it. He's using his gift and his talent to spread the gospel. Look what John 3 says. We'll read this one verse, then we'll go to Matthew. John 3 and verse 3. This is as clear as it comes right here. If nobody can get this, they just can't get anything. This is no more clear right here. This is Jesus talking to Nicodemus, because Nicodemus was curious about the afterlife, I'm a good man, all that stuff. Jesus said, verse 3, to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's a pretty blatant verse, isn't it? Pretty clear. Except a man be born again, Jesus says, he won't see the kingdom. So we got to talk about, what is born again mean? A lot of folks make fun of that expression, especially people in other parts of the country, because us Southerners use that probably more than any part of the country. And I'm born again Christian. You go to somewhere like New York or New Jersey, Massachusetts, what does that mean? Born again? Okay. You born twice? I mean, they don't understand. It's kind of maybe something more cultural that we are used to saying here, because we're in the Bible Belt. But there is a born again experience that truly happens. And what happens in this born-again experience, what happened to Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a tax collector. We like tax collectors, right? We want to give them all of our money. Yay. He was a bad tax collector. He was crooked. He intentionally shorted people because how his profession worked, the more he got, the more he could keep for himself. So he would overcharge, pocket roll the rest. So that's what he did. But Zacchaeus was in a tree one day, the Bible says, in a sycamore tree, because Jesus was passing by. And he'd heard enough about Jesus to be curious. Who is this Jesus? I just want to see what all the fuss is about. They talk about he raises the dead and does the miracles and, you know, whatever. And he's a prophet and he's supposed to be the Son of God. Let's see who he is. So he climbs a tree to see him. Here comes Jesus walking along, sees him up there on the branch, calls him down. Zacchaeus, I want to come to your house today. Is that okay? Well, yes, yes, Master. He hopped out of the tree, brought Jesus to his house. They had dinner, and he was saved, and his family was saved. All right, how do we know something changed Zacchaeus? How do we know this was a born-again moment for Zacchaeus? Because if you read, what does Zacchaeus do after that? He went and paid back all the people he had shafted. Can you imagine getting a knock on the door from a government official? Hey, lender, I'm from the IRS. And that's a good knock. I'm from the IRS, and you know what? We've been cheating you for the last 15 years. So here's a check for $9,200 or whatever. You'd be like, wow. Then they go to the next door. Hey, I'm from the IRS. I've been cheating you for 20 years. Here's a check of everything. You would know something happened. We're in a twilight zone, right? Something going on, or the end of time. Zacchaeus produced fruit in his salvation. He went and made it right. The same thing with the woman at the well. If you remember the woman at the well, the prostitute, when Jesus came to her, said, I got something to offer you. I got living water. You want it? She didn't know what he meant at first. Then he started talking to her. Yeah, I want it. Well, she drank the living water. She accepted him. Then what did she do? She went and told her family about it and spread the gospel to her family, and they were saved. See, a born-again experience should be a moment in time you can point to say, that's the day I gave my life to Jesus. And for some of you, you might be like, well, you know what, preacher? I've got saved so many times, I've done lost count. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you have been saved about 22 times. But there's a moment in time you know you really got it. Or maybe you're at a moment today, you're here this morning, and you're like, I don't really know of a moment I did that. I mean, you know, I pray and I believe in God, but preacher, I don't know of a moment. I can't really remember when I really knelt down on my knees and said, Jesus, forgive me of my sins and be Lord of my life. Maybe you've not done that process. Maybe you've not been in that moment. It shouldn't be just a blur of, well, I used to be bad and drink and cuss and snort, and now I just half drink, half cuss, and half snort, and I'm progressing. There has to be a moment we say, you know what? No, God, I gave it to you. I was born again. Because I truly believe, church, when you're born again forever. The grace of God keeps you born again forever. But the danger is this. There are many that think they're born again that aren't born again. And they're in false understanding. Just make a confession, just like you hear the old expression, what was that saying? Going to McDonald's to make me a Big Mac? Anyway, if I stood up here and talk, bad example. If I stood up here and told you guys, I am an automobile mechanic. I profess I'm a mechanic. I believe in all of my heart that the auto God is the God of all the world. And I am a mechanic in Jesus' name. Would any of you that know me let me touch your car? No way. Preacher, you can say mechanic all you want. But when you pull a little pin out of your riding lawnmower and wonder why it wouldn't go no more and about threw it away and didn't realize that's what made it go, you're not a mechanic. Y'all know I'm not a mechanic. Or if I says I am a heart surgeon, if you have heart issues, come see James D. Lewis, M.D., I am a heart surgeon. I profess the heart. I bow to the snake on the stick. Oh, snake on the stick. I am a surgeon. And I believe that. I confess to a whole world. I am a heart surgeon. I go to Walmart. I'm a heart surgeon. What do you do? I'm a heart surgeon. What do you do for a living? I'm a heart surgeon. See, I can put a white coat on and put a stethoscope on and put a name that says James Lewis, M.D. I could be waiting at the front door of Davis Hospital this afternoon. If you walked by me, would any of you let me touch you? Of course not. It's suicide. Here's where we are spiritually. Many profess Christ. They say, I'm a Christian. But man, they don't operate as a Christian, do they? Or live the Christian life. There is a life to be lived if we say we are born again. It should produce something in our life that people see the fruit of Jesus in our life. And if we're not producing that fruit, something's not wrong. I mean, something's not right. Either we've never professed or we're hiding behind that. Christianity is a very loose term. And a lot of people use it just because they're not a Jew or they're not a Muslim or they're not a Catholic or whatever. So they say, I'm a Christian. But it doesn't mean they're living the Christian life. Christian means follower of Christ, which means we should be following the Lord and His Word. Let's get into Scripture if you don't think I'm lying to you. Turn to Matthew 7. You'll see it up on the screen. We'll start with verse 17. Matthew 7, this is Jesus speaking, and it's pretty direct, and he's just trying to make sure that people aren't deceived and they understand the truth. We're going to start with verse 17, Matthew 7, Jesus speaking here. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Now, Jesus is saying, if you're a Christian, you go produce good fruit. If you're a sinner, you can produce bad fruit. It's that simple. Every one of you in here this morning in this sanctuary are either in two places. You are born again or you are lost. There's no in between. I mean, like I was talking to the air conditioning guy last week that couldn't work on the air. He's like, you know, I got saved when I was six, but I don't know what I really believe now. I know so many things I don't really know. I'm not religious. I don't know what I believe. You know, understand, is he really saved if he doesn't even believe in God now? Did anything happen there? And he says, I just hope that, you know, I'm a good, exactly what he said. I'm a good person, and, you know, I hope I make it. I hope I get to heaven. And so many are going through with that philosophy. I hope I make it. I hope I've done enough good. You know, I went to Bible school when I was 6 years old, and I said a prayer, and the Bible teacher said I was saved, but there's never been any fruit to follow that. It's a very dangerous place to be, church. Now, this is not a message of condemnation. It's a message of truth. That we are not deceived into thinking because of this we are saved. Jesus is very clear. A good tree will produce good fruit. A bad tree will produce bad fruit. You will know someone by their fruits. He goes on to say in verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now, this is not talking about times we slip and fall. We all do that. There's plenty of times I'm sure Linda's had a bad apple on the limb. Doesn't mean she's not a Christian. She just had a mini crop failure. But she's okay, because the one bad apple, there's 10 other good apples around it. So you still see the good apples. You see the fruit. He's not talking about a sinless life. What he's talking about with a good tree cannot produce bad fruit is, if your nature is really in Christ, you cannot continually practice a nature that goes against the Lord, because that's not who you are anymore. I mean, you just can't do it. I mean, just like us walking downtown, you know, Melanie felt so uncomfortable. We wasn't doing anything wrong. We're just walking the streets, looking at the shops, you know, and they had some, you know, music playing. They had different things going on, you know. We was doing nothing wrong, but Melanie's like, I don't feel comfortable here in this environment. I don't feel stuff around. I don't feel right. You know why? Because Melanie's a good tree. She's a white oak. I went out too, but anyway, because Melanie's a good tree, she didn't want to even be in that environment. And see, there's many Christians that go into places and do things and associate with people that really we shouldn't be doing. I'm just being honest. Not if we're a good tree. Because a good tree is not going to feel... Church, I'm going to tell you something. I remember years ago, and I know to you this is so minute. I know it's so minor. But I'm just talking... I want to get real here because we've gotten so callous, nothing's wrong anymore. I mean, nothing's wrong. What do you mean? Well, they had a two-piece on. They wasn't naked. Well, we've gotten to that point that nothing's wrong anymore. We're just being governed by whatever we feel. I remember years ago at Walmart, I was at a meeting in Hickory, a manager meeting, and the DM wanted to take us all out, going out to lunch, and they said, where do you want to go? And you know what? Where he wanted to go? Hooters. So I'm sitting there. I mean, it ain't like the scenery ain't good or nothing. I'm just saying I know I don't need to be there. So I'm sitting there, and I said, let's start. And I try to, and you got to realize now, I'm one of many managers there. There's about 20 of us. And I tell it, I said, let's go somewhere else. Where do you want to go? I said, well, let's just go somewhere else. Well, they all voted, and where do we end up going? Hooters. So I'm in there, didn't want to be there at all. I walk in, I feel like I'm, you know, oh my, I feel like I'm entering the gates of hell. I'm like, I'm going to burn when I walk in the store. I'm just going to burn. Now, I don't know if I was pastoring yet or not. I think I don't know if I started, if I was the fire department. I don't remember if I was even started that yet. We may have been in the fire department. I don't remember. And so we have this, we're in there, and we order lunch, and, you know, I told one of my man bus, I don't feel good here. I said, you know, this isn't professional. I mean, this is Walmart. It's a business meeting. It should have went somewhere a little more professional, I think, than Hooters. And I remember feeling guilty the whole time. And the waitress would come by, and you know how they do their little, they pour your drink. And I'm literally sitting here trying not, so I thought I had a problem because I'm sitting there trying, just turning my head when she poured my tea. I just felt dirty. You know, I'm just, and here's what I'm thinking. My God. You know, I think I was pastoring already. I was in the fire department. I remember thinking, man, if somebody from the church walks in and sees me here, oh, my gosh. And the problem was I started to just come home and leave, but the problem was people were riding with me. And so I had them with me, and I'm like, so I'm sitting, it was the most miserable lunch I ever had. Of course, I ate the lunch. But I felt so bad. And I remember going back, and I told my store manager, I said, you know where we went to lunch today? Hooters. I said, I don't think that was right. I mean, Walmart puts to be this uppercut, you know, all about image, right? And I know, church, I know y'all are sitting there thinking, well, I went there last night. What a big deal. Y'all were listening. That's good. But I hear these women, I've heard interviews of these of different Hooter girls, you know, on TV. You hear sometimes, you'll hear an interview, and they're like, it was a... you know, a thing where, you know, people think, but it was educational, and I, you know, listen, we all know that most men don't go in there for the wings. You can get wings at Pfeiffer's, okay? And they're better. You can get wings at Golden Corral now on the bar. They got wings on the bar now. Men, and what I don't like is families go in there, church, and take their little kids. And I'm not trying to, but, you know, was it teaching Abby to be in there and see all these women? You know, hey, little girl, what do you want to drink? Do you want to be a Hooter girl? I mean, really? It's an exploitation is all it is. And so I remember being so uncomfortable because, you know what, I knew I didn't belong there. Now, church, I understand some of you wouldn't be a bit uncomfortable in here. Some of you wouldn't be uncomfortable with strip clubs. I understand that, but I would be. Thank you, Mother. That's good to know. I would be very uncomfortable because I don't belong there. Here's what I'm trying to say. If you're in a place and you feel like you belong there, and maybe it's not the best place, examine your spirit to see if it's really been born again. Because when it's been born again, there's just things that you don't do because it's not in you to do those things. And we're much more aware of our light when we're born again. And much more aware of what we're doing and where we're going and what we're saying and how we're talking and who we're associating with. Because it all reflects Jesus. It should all reflect the Savior we say changed us. And so there has to be a born again experience in order to see heaven. That's what Jesus said. Look at 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. What is Jesus talking about here? Judgment. He is saying, this is an analogy of, if a tree is evil, it will be judged and cast away and punished. It's talking about mankind. Those that don't produce the fruits of God will be judged and cut down and eternally punished. Cast into the fire, which is symbolic of consumption. Burning up, dissolving, done away with. We must take serious our salvation and where we are spiritually. And not hope we make it in, church. My God, I would hate to live a life hoping I'd done enough to make it in. I want to know I can never do enough, but I placed all of my trust and faith in Jesus who did enough that I could see heaven. And we are accountable once light shines. I thought about this. I have preached through the last 11 years through seasons of our church. I've really thought about this. I have preached to in excess of 1,000 different people in this church through the last 11 years. Different people's come through this church, 1,000 or more. That's come through, and a lot of them aren't here, but that's come through that was part of this church. And once light is shined, and once truth is revealed, they're accountable. And if they don't do anything with that, that's their loss. But once light shines, they're accountable, church. Once Jesus shows you truth, and you want to keep rejecting that and saying, I believe in God. It's like I've been saying, people want enough God not to feel guilty, but not enough to be changed. And that's not a place we should want to be. Church, we should want to be changed. God, take my filthy mouth and clean it up. Take my filthy heart and clean it up. God, take my steps where I've been going wrong places and reordain them and reroute them somewhere else. Change my heart, God. See, our heart's what's got to be changed, church. Salvation is not a head decision. It never has been. And that's where the church, I think, has been in deception some, that, you know, we're all about the numbers. How many got saved? I don't know in this church how many's ever really gotten saved in the last 11 years. I don't know. There have been ones I know that's gotten saved, but I don't know. Just because someone stands here and cries don't mean they got saved. Salvation produces good works. Good works does not produce salvation. But salvation, true born-again experience, you're going to be different. Everything is going to change in your life. You're going to just glow and walk different than you ever did before when you really give your heart to Jesus. Do not be deceived into thinking it's just about making an appearance in church or believing in God and that's enough. If you believe in something, you follow it. If you believe in God, really believe Him in your heart, you'll follow Him. If you really believe, Lord, You are the Lord and my Savior in my life, you're going to follow Him. That's what believers do. They follow. What verse are we on? 20. Wherefore, by their fruits, you shall know them. We know what that means, church. You can go to work and pretty much identify probably who isn't saved at your job place. They're probably not a Christian. Or the ones that are. I know you're a Christian. There was a guy that worked in food line that I used to go in and talk to quite a bit, young guy. And I felt his nature. We never talked about God, but one day I went up to him. He's a stalker in one of the food line stores. I said, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" He said, "Yes, sir, I am." As I can tell. He never mentioned a word about the Lord, but I knew by his spirit. Just his attitude, just his face, I just knew he was a Christian. Your fruit's going to show. Your fruit's going to bear out whether you're his or not. Now it gets a little more direct right here, so nobody hang on to your seats. If you're not saved, you don't want to hear these words, believe me. You don't want to go right now. So let's hope we have an altar call with the trumpet sounds, all right? Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. You know what Jesus was saying? Not everyone just says, "Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. I'm a." It's the ones that do what he said. It's the ones that follow his word. It's the ones that obey him. That produces true. That's an evidence of real change. When you're doing what God's word says, when you're following it, you're changed. Just to say you believe it's not enough, church. He says, those that do the will of my Father. Is it the will of God that you're out doing this and that and no telling who with what? Is that the will of God? Have you read, was my statement in the paper this morning? You didn't see it. Okay. Might not have printed it. Might not have liked it. I got a call this week from the paper wanting to know my opinion on what the Supreme Court did in New York. So, I'm like, wow, do you really? Okay. It's supposed to be in today's paper. Dad said he didn't see it. But I called her back with a statement. And it didn't print today, it didn't look like. Somebody didn't like the statement. Because even the one that interviewed me says, well, I don't know how I feel about it. It's a, you know, to me, it's a discrimination issue. I said, to me, it's a God issue. I said, I'm not basing my opinion on civil rights or equal rights or discrimination. I'm basing on what the Word of God says. But the statement I gave was, in jest, I opened up with, you know, God loves everyone. He proved that love on the cross. But with that said, I'm 100% against same-sex marriage. Huh? It won't be in the paper, huh? That's what I said. I went on to say that America will pay a great price, morally, socially, and economically, for endorsing this movement. I went on to say, that same-sex couples cannot naturally reproduce, which affects the existence of mankind as God intended. So it didn't make it. That's fine. I guarantee if I said something different, it would have made it. Right, it'd have made it. So anyway, if y'all see a quote in a paper, maybe be tomorrow, maybe it don't come out at all, but it's supposed to be in today's. And, but you know what? My stance for God, church, no matter the cost, no matter who it offends, I would much rather offend Chris, though I like him a lot, than offend my Jesus. As funny as Tim is, as much as I love his brother, if he gets mad because, well, I just don't think, you know what? Woman have a right to marry a woman. I just and you're just, you know, you're, that's your, Tim, I love you, brother, but I'm not bowing down because you get mad and stop giving you money and stomp out and take everybody with you. When I told a statement, I read my statement to Mom on what I said. Mom was worried about there'd be picketers out in front of church this morning. I said, well, she ain't going to support me. You going to stay home? I was very careful in how I worded it. In fact, when she called me, I was in Winston at the hospital with somebody, a Baptist, and I said, look, this is a very sensitive issue. I don't want to just rattle something off the phone to you. I'm with somebody. Let me get back to States while I call you. And so I prayed about what to say. I wanted to use wisdom, but I wanted to use truth. And so I actually wrote it down and read it to her. And apparently it wasn't what they wanted to hear, which is fine. And I could care less. I mean, I would have loved it on the front page. Here's what I would love for it to say it, actually. Local pastor says he is against same-sex marriage. Services, 10 o'clock, 6. That's what I would love for it to say it. Because everyone knows how I feel. Man, we love people. You know, it's not about that, but it's about the moral standard that God gives us to govern. You know? And so we got to be strong on this. And, you know, people that want to say I've been born again but are still practicing such lifestyles, you got to say something's not right. You just can't hide behind that. And I mean, man, grace is wonderful. I love grace, and by grace we are saved, but grace does not give us, as Paul said, a license to continue in sin. But just the reverse, man, we ought to cut it off, say, God, because I do deserve hell, I'm going to serve you. Thank you, Lord, that you paid my debt. I'm in, like Gomer to Andy Griffith. I'll be with you by your side every single moment of the day. I won't leave you. You're my hero. We ought to be the Gomer to Jesus, shouldn't we? God, I'm not leaving your side. I will talk with you, and I will walk with you, and I will love you, and I will praise you, and I will worship you. And you can't get rid of me, God, because of what you did. I'm stuck to you like glue. Come hell or high water, I am with you, Jesus, forever because of the debt you paid and the price you canceled in my name. Thank you for it. Grace motivates us to serve God, not get away from God. Now, verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, I tell you, as a preacher, this verse scares me. It scares me as a minister. I've read this many times. I thought, God, let this never be me. Lord, Lord, have we prophesied in your name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? So here they're bringing up, Lord, we preached in your name, and we there have been miracles in your name, but here's the deal. It's not about the miracles or about the works. It's about the proven faith. Jesus says, I will profess then, I never knew you. Depart from me, workers of iniquity. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? I never knew you. Think about that, Tim. You're standing before God. But Lord, I went to church. Gave my tithes. Raised my daughter in church. I raised my hands. I got excited. Hallelujah. I prayed. I danced before, Lord. I've felt your presence. And then you hear those words, I never knew you. You know what Jesus is trying to indicate here, what he's trying to point out? Their hearts haven't been changed. Once again, we can say all we want of who we are, but until our heart changes, you know, what's in our hearts, what we are. You know, the drug addict or the alcoholic, one of the biggest enemies in front of them is denial, right? Denial. Don't have a problem. I don't drink no more. I don't drug. Oh, no, I'm clean. Man. I've been clean for 3 weeks. He wasn't clean 3 hours. But you say that. It doesn't matter what you say. It's what you are. God came to change our heart, not our head. The devil's great, church, of reminding you, speaking to your life, that you're okay. That you don't need this. You know, you're okay doing it your way. You know what the born-again experience is? It's complete surrenderance to Jesus. I mean complete. It's you surrendering your life, saying, Lord, take my ways and let them be your ways. I don't want to keep doing the things I've always done. The Bible says old things are passed away and everything becomes new. That we are a new creation in Christ. We should look different and be different. Not the same old, same old. Two more verses, bear with me. This is the foundation, Jesus says. These are the two foundations. Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Here he's talking about those that have really been saved. These are the saved. The foundation, you put your faith in me, nothing's going to destroy you. You're mine. Then verse 26, the other foundation. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Two foundations. You can hear all the gods you want. But until you start doing what God says, it doesn't matter. A lot of folks hear the gospel, but don't do the gospel. They don't allow the Lord to really change their lives. This is why powerless religion is on the rise, church. This is why that, I was thinking about this. I'm not the smartest tool in the shed, and I realize that. Thank you, Tim, for amening that. I realize that. But, you know, this church could be three times bigger if I would change my message. If I just change my message. If I went to more of a culturally safe doctrine, it would explode. But I would rather have one life truly transformed, truly saved through the power of the Holy Spirit, than hundreds that walked out lost. We need, church, this generation needs to feel uncomfortable. Not hated, not judged, but uncomfortable. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict and to stir up and to make us aware that we, as D-Sung, need a Savior. Without a Savior, we're lost. It's that simple. We're just lost. Do I believe in hell? I sure do. I believe in hell, church. I believe those that reject truth will be lost. Those that will not surrender to God will be lost. I absolutely believe that. And when you see the culture that we're in, especially up there in Asheville, and just seeing the people and just seeing what, you know, Asheville's fighting several spirits up there. Even that guy playing the guitar says, we're spiritual warfare up here in Asheville, just spiritual warfare happening. But when we have the culture we see, and there's nothing wrong anymore, there's just nothing really wrong anymore. God's my governor, church. It should be all of our governor. That we're governed under God, not under what a law passes or not. You know, and I heard this on the news last week that they are trying to get all 37 states. Their plan to have all 30, the rest of the 37 states is not legalized same-sex marriage, legalized in 5 years. That's a goal they have. It'll probably happen. Because we've crossed a line now. I said that we've crossed a line, church. I mean, we can't go back and undo it. And when we see a society, when two men are exchanging rings and kissing each other on the mouth, we have crossed a major line. This is what's happened. We have little boys like Maverick in a few years in school that will be taught about two mamas or two daddies. They'll be taught that. I know, baby, it's coming. I'm sorry. Just follow Jesus, son. But you know, it's already being taught in some sex ed classes in fifth grade in some parts of the country. And we're seeing this. And it's just, church, we need to know we're saved. We need to know that we're going to escape all this mess and be with Jesus and not get caught up in the culture of the world. It's so easy. Romans tells us, do not be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Trust the Lord. You will not see heaven unless you've been born again. And maybe some of you in here have never had a true experience where, or maybe you're in a place this morning that you have been born again, but you're just not where you want to be. You've drifted and you've been in a bad season or a bad cycle, or the devil's really been on you, and you're not happy where you are, and you're like, I want to come back again and get rerooted. God, I need your touch this morning. I want to open up the altar today, and I want to ask, if you do not know where you'll be after this world, it's the most important question you'll ever answer. To know that I am saved. Not because somebody tells me I'm saved. Somebody got to tell you, that's not a very good indication. And you're not saved because you were baptized at 2 or 3 years old. You're not saved because you're a part of a certain church or denomination. You're not saved because, you know, your daddy or your granddaddy was a preacher. You're not saved because you're always in church every week. None of that saves you. You're only saved through one name. The Bible says only one name can men be saved by. One name, that is Jesus. I want to ask you, I'll have Jeremy play this little song, and it's called Come to the Well. And if you want to come to the well today, and just hear what you need to do. If you want Jesus in your life, you want to know that you really have Jesus in your life, I want to ask you to demonstrate that need by coming up front to the altar and just asking, Jesus, save me. That's all you got to say. Jesus, save me. I don't want to keep living the way I'm living. I don't even know if I'm lost or saved. I want to be sure. I don't know what tomorrow holds for my life, and I want to be sure. That's all you got to do. Jesus, save me. I give you my life today. And I want to leave this church different today. That's all there is to it. But it cannot, and I always, and church, I want to encourage this. A lot of ministers don't do this. I want to be honest. It cannot, it will not be real or effective if it's only a head decision. The Spirit's got to draw you. So, as this song is being played, and as the church is praying during the song, if the Spirit of God is drawing you, if you feel inside, I need to get saved, I've not really probably been saved. I love God. I believe in God, but I don't know I've really been born again. My life doesn't really indicate that I've really been born again. I want to ask you to come to the altar and just talk to Jesus and say, Lord, just save me. As the song's being played. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, you just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, come as you are. When your last prayer is spoken, just rest in my arms a while. You'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. It's all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. World will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. Yeah. Leave it all behind. The world will try. That you're full of love beyond measure, your joy's gonna flow like a stream in the desert. Soon all the world will see the living water is found in me, 'cause you come to the well. Yeah. It's all who thirst will thirst no. It's all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind.
Your pursuit of a
leave it all behind.
Your fear of rejection.
Leave it all behind.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for your presence here today that we have felt. And we know, Lord, that there is a kingdom of God that's going to be established for each of us. It's already been established, and we're going to walk into it, those that have been bought by the blood. There is no way but through the cross. And we thank you that you made that one way to see you face to face. That way has been made for all mankind. That redemption plan's in place for every person living. I just pray that this message today did not bounce off. But I pray, Lord, it made a difference. I pray it made a change in someone's heart, that it provoked thought, and that it provoked something within them to recognize and realize, I don't know if I had a time I can say Jesus changed me, but I want that. I pray for the hearts to be softened to receive all of you fully, Jesus, and completely surrender their lives unto you, knowing that they will cross from death into life forever when they make that change. I pray you touch every heart, every need, every battle, every storm, every addiction, every issue, every giant that faces these folks this morning, God, that stands in their way. You are more than enough for every situation. And we thank you that you slay every giant in our way if we'll just give it to you. And we thank you for victory here in this place and give you praise. In the name of Jesus, amen. That's Jesus calling us, saying, "Why, amen, amen." Glory to God. Thank you for your time this morning and your attention. I want to make an announcement. Don reminded me this morning. Did you get your church newsletter? Don't it look nice? My mom designed that, so give her a great big hand. Did a wonderful job with that. So thank you. We want to have those out once a month to cover our birthdays, anniversaries. Make sure you turn your partner